Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you live in the Kia Studios. Coming up in 25 minutes, get some college football news and notes. A lot of interesting stuff went down yesterday in college football, including the announcement of who's going to be the starting quarterback at Miami, the ripple effect thereof. We'll also talk to Mike Conti at 12:40, get some Atlanta United conversation in here. You can let us know what's on your mind. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line 404-741-0929. We'll do the AMA in the 1 o'clock hour as always. And I fail to do this some days, but just because you listen in the noon hour doesn't mean you can't ask an AMA question.
Yes.
You can ask a question now.
It was a good one yesterday that we didn't get to.
It was?
Yeah, it was a real good one because it was. I was curious too.
What was it?
It was about Atlanta United actually. And was Pitty upset because Joseph got to take the PK?
Oh.
I was like, that's a good question.
You know who that's a good question to ask, or a good person to ask that question to? Mike Conti.
Oh, Mike's coming in today.
Yeah, Mike will be with us at 12:40.
Yeah, I was curious.
We'll ask Mike Conti about that.
Oh, that's a good question.
Because, I mean, Pitty doesn't really have any claim to penalty kicks anymore, does he? After what happened at the end of that one game?
Well, I mean, he did.
Joseph has missed, I think, one.
He did put in a bazooka and shoot it over there. And then you know, it was still a close game.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm taking Joseph from the penalty mark. I don't know. I think if Joseph's on the field, he's taking those, whether Pitty earns it or not.
I'm just curious. That was a great question.
We'll ask Mike about that. Among other things when Mike jumps in here. All right, let's get to the most important audio in the world, the Braxton Big Clip of the Day, brought to you by Braxton Automotive, after warranty luxury repair.
Oh, it feels great. Just being back out there running around, running routes. It's football. I've been doing it for so long, so it's you know, I just love to be back out there and just running around and you know, catching the ball and just having fun.
Julio Jones, happy to be back out on the field. Obviously, he had been limited throughout the first couple weeks of training camp and practice. Back out there going full go in some of the drills that they're doing, catching footballs, having fun, doing what he likes to do best, Randy. Playing football.
And he's good at that.
He's pretty good at it. Good.
I saw a couple of clips of him. It looks really, really good out there. Let's just hope that, you know, because they got a plan for him now. It was like a month-long plan leading up to the season to have Julio at peak Julio when they go up to Minnesota. So this is part of the plan. They're going to ease him back in. I don't know if he's doing any full-time, any, like, team practice or anything like that.
But I would doubt he's doing any contact.
Yeah, it was good to see him, you know, just doing something full speed.
Where does the part of the plan come in when they pay him?
Hey, Julio ain't worried about it. Mr. Blank's word is gold.
It's around the corner. That's right.
Yeah.
It's right around the corner.
His word is gold. That's all.
Well, it is gold.
And that's all that Julio is banking on. So Julio's going to go out there and do his part. He's just waiting for them to do theirs. And from what they've been saying, we played all the clips yesterday, they're going to do theirs.
You said it'll be in the next 10 days.
Yes.
All right. Julio, contract watch.
It might come in 12.
Well, I hope not, because you said 10.
I know. I'm just saying in general. It might come in 12.
If you're wrong, can I take that steak back?
Of course not.
Dang it.
I know bet backsies.
Double or nothing? No, I don't want to do that.
No, you definitely don't want to do that.
That's two steaks.
Yeah. And we're going right back there.
We're excited to see Cal back. It's been about 2 weeks, Led, since he'd been out. And so we did a good job of making sure he was fully himself, you know, his strength, his quickness, his explosion. So we'll ramp him up again today. But he looked good on the first day. It was great to have his energy back out there, too.
Ramp it up. Dan Quinn talking about Calvin Ridley being back out there as well. Remember, Randy, we were there 10 feet from Calvin Ridley when he pulled his hamstring.
Yep, and he was trying to fight through it and everything.
In training camp. And he was off to the side for a good long time because of it. So he's back out there yesterday, too, which is good. Do you think Calvin Ridley plays on Thursday night?
No. For what?
So he'll play against Washington?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason to rush him back out there. You want to see him get some. I mean, there are certain guys that you want to see, especially young guys. There's certain veterans that you want to see in preseason. You got to get some of these linemen. Jake needs to go out there and get him a couple live reps. Alex, he's fine. But, yeah, you got to find a way to get there because I expect to see, and I don't know where James Carpenter is on his injury site. I know that Jamon Brown was played pretty good in the Miami game. But they all five of those guys need to get on the field together for a little bit though, before the season starts.
Who else will play Thursday? You think Mohamed Sanu plays? I mean, Matt Ryan's going to play.
Yeah, if Matt Ryan plays. Mohamed Sanu's going to play.
Okay, Austin Hooper.
Yeah, if Austin played last year.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's going to play. And if Matt Ryan is playing, then Ridley will probably Ridley might play if. He just came off of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't play him.
I wouldn't play him. Wait till preseason game number three.
Hoop's going to play because he played last game. If Matt's there, Mohamed Sanu's going to play. If Matt's there, Jake Matthews going to play.
Devontae?
No. And then you look at Alex Mack, he's going to play. Because if Matt Ryan's out there, they ain't put no.
Now you have to have the guys out
there.
Yeah.
And Jamon, like I said, Jamon Brown is competing for that left starting guard position. So you feel safe with him in there right there.
Well, I think number one, you know, when you get a chance to win the division, that's a big deal because the benefits of those of getting home games, you know, playing in the postseason. So you better make sure your eye is on the division first. And whether it's New Orleans or Carolina or Tampa or the games that lead up into those, that's to me the factor that you never move far away from. Like even today, all right, let's start watching their preseason games. Who are the new players they added? So you just have a better awareness for them.
Yeah, of course, taking care of your division is going to be of great importance. One thing the division did this year that the Falcons didn't really in the offseason was address the defensive line. Basically, every team in the division added somebody new as far as pass rushers go. The Falcons added a whole bunch of offensive lines, so that makes sense. I was reading an article earlier today by Bill Barnwell in ESPN or on ESPN.com where he sort of broke down Drew Brees' season last year, the great start that he got off to through Thanksgiving, and then the mediocre finish that he had to the season where
sharp.
He was an average quarterback.
He wasn't sharp at all.
He was Derek Carr. He was Kirk Cousins. He was not Drew Brees by any stretch of the imagination. So the article was basically trying to forecast whether or not we could see or start to see beyond just the end of the season last year, but this whole season, the true decline of Drew Brees as an elite quarterback in the NFL, which sounds good to me.
Hey, man, Drew is still one of the top players at his position in the league, but he did kind of, you know, he tailed off a little bit at the end. And I still think that him and Sean Payton, they're aligned right now. When Drew's ready to go, I think Sean's going to go. And I know that Jerry Jones can't wait for that to happen because Jerry, he will be the next head coach of Dallas Cowboys.
Sean Payton?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Does Drew Brees have to be, like, first 12 weeks of the season Drew Brees last year for them to go to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
He does.
Because here's my thing. And as great as Alvin Kamara is, and he is great, he ain't that, you know. They're going to miss Mark Ingram. I think they're going to miss that between the tackles banger. Latavius Murray, he's all right, but I think Mark Ingram's better than him. But the way they get Kamara the ball, and one thing about Sean Payton, is he's so great at scheming and getting guys open. He's one of the best in the league. And him and Drew, and one thing, Drew's never had the big arm. Drew's always been an anticipation type guy. And so I look at it as like this. I mean, they upgraded the tight end position. I love Jared Cook right there, so he's going to give you another weapon. They got to find another damn receiver to catch the ball. I mean, that's the biggest thing for them. I mean, because Michael Thomas is going to keep getting all these targets and all that. It's going to be hard for that offense to be as productive as it could be.
In the first 11 weeks last year, Drew Brees was a 76% completion percentage.
He's always up there. He's always in 70.
Yeah, but that's crazy. Yes. 76% is nuts. I mean, his drop-off really only had him at 69%, so he's still really accurate throwing the football. His passer rating was 127 in the first 11 weeks. It was 88 in the end of the season. So there was that marked drop-off, and some of the theory was when Desmond Trufant hit him on that interception return on Thanksgiving Day, maybe that sort of knocked his arm a little bit, and he didn't have the same arm strength, which is believable. The other part of it could be, I mean, he's 40.
You can know, man.
Like, that happens to some people.
Father time jump on you, man.
People forget that even though he won the Super Bowl in his final season, Peyton Manning's final season in the NFL,
oh, it was god-awful.
He was not Peyton Manning. But he was nowhere near that.
No, he was not. But the thing with Drew is, Drew didn't have that major injury like Peyton.
Right.
Because I think, you know, Peyton didn't have the injury. You know, Peyton still might be playing right now.
He could be.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, Father Time's going, it's always undefeated. And when it's knocking at your door, eventually it's going to get in. And but right now, I mean, Drew, the one thing about him, he takes care of his body, eats well, trains well in the offseason. And you can say the same thing for about Cam when he took that shot from T.J. Watt.
Right, same thing.
Same thing. They were, what, 6-2 then?
I think that's right.
Yeah, then they, I mean, then they fell off because he couldn't throw the ball.
Couldn't throw the football. I mean, they had to bring a backup quarterback in to throw deep balls later in the year. They sat him down.
Remember that?
Yeah, that was crazy. So that's a big question mark, too. Like, I know Cam's throwing the ball, and apparently it's got a new throwing motion and all this kind of stuff, but the arm health of the quarterbacks in this division, aside from Matt Ryan, of course, is a concern. Yeah. And, you know, again, you got to take care of business in division if you're going to head to the playoffs and do anything there.
These guys have been under a little scrutiny, but that's what they're capable of. It's great how they picked each other up because we're going to need them. I mean, it's a good bullpen. Every facet in your game, it's just not perfect all the time. These guys will keep fighting. It's a great group of guys. They pick each other up and got a chance of being really good.
It certainly hasn't been perfect, Randy.
No, it has not.
When it comes to the Braves bullpen.
It's been very average. No.
Oh.
Below average.
I hope this is not the average.
Yeah, it's been bad.
It has been bad. And
really
the problem
bad.
Is it was kind of inconsistent, although was pretty good for a little while in like June and the first part of July. But then they finally addressed the problems that they had at the trade deadline, and we thought, yes, finally, hooray, the Braves bullpen is fixed. To go along with this offense, everything is going to be wonderful. Maybe the starting pitching can follow suit as well. The bullpen's been the worst part of the team over the last week.
It's been pretty bad. And the reason why you're upset more is because you thought you did something.
You thought you fixed it.
You thought, oh, yeah, look at Double-A making these moves right before the deadline, hours before. He calls them. Yeah, all right. Well, show me. Because right now, it ain't looking good, man. But again, like Stick said, they're back home. They're settled in.
They're sleeping in their own beds.
Well,
Shane Green's sleeping on Wendy's couch.
His dog's here. His dog is here now, so maybe, you know, his pup can cheer him up.
His dog's name is Smoke.
Huh?
You know how we know that?
Because it probably was on his Instagram that you and Wendy are stalking.
Because we do our research, Randy.
Yeah, probably stalking.
Because we're thorough.
That ain't research. That's stalking.
There's a fine line between research and stalking.
Define.
It's just a fine line you have to walk. I mean, what, you know, you're learning stuff about people you've never met.
Mm-hmm.
In some arenas, that's called stalking.
And so how is the fact that he's not pitching well and you knowing his dog name, how's that?
Those things don't have to do with one another.
It's more stalkerish, right?
What? Why does, no. Me looking at his Instagram doesn't have anything to do with him pitching badly.
No, I know that. No, I know. I'm talking about you personally.
I'm just saying, like, what's the difference between me knowing what his batting average was in high school, mm-hmm. which I guess is technically a part of my job.
Right.
And me knowing where he gets his haircut.
Exactly. What does that have to do with your job description, the way he gets his haircut?
Well, I'm saying, like, but what's the difference? I just want to know information about the athletes that we cover.
But that's the thing about it. Why can't you just know?
So I should only know the sports information?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The line?
Yeah. I mean, the rest of it's kind of weird, but okay. I noticed something, though.
What?
You got your school colors on today.
Yeah, I got my new Husky shirt on.
All right.
Don't tell Terry.
Hey, man, what does that wristband say?
Don't be a little blank.
There you go. Wear your stuff yet. Wear your stuff. Wear your stuff.
I mean, what's the difference between knowing what his dog's name is and knowing what his ERA was in Detroit?
Nothing at all.
It's the same thing.
You get your 100? He was here yesterday, and he had his good clothes on, so you know he had some money.
I didn't get my money.
Yeah, he had his good clothes on.
He told me last Monday he was going to pay me tomorrow. That was 9 tomorrows ago now. That's unfortunate.
His first goal is world-class, his ability to have separation in the box, and then to get power behind the header to beat Sean. That's a fantastic finish.
Brad Guzan on Joseph Martinez's ability to score and the goal that he scored, the first one that gave him 10 goals in 10 consecutive games, or scored in 10 consecutive games. He actually scored 15 goals in those 10 games. Brad Guzan says, we're kind of spoiled by Joseph at this point because every time he touches the ball anywhere near the goal, we expect him to put it in there.
He spoiled all of us, man, because that's what we've seen. I mean, I've never seen anybody that has a hunger for that ball the way he does when it's anywhere in that box, when it's on a cross, anything, a rebound. I mean, this guy he has a nose for it. And, you know, and it's crazy because he was in Italy, right? Wasn't he in Italy before he came over?
Yeah,
here?
he was in Italy Torino before. Briefly, yeah.
Yeah, and nobody came to call him, really. And for Darren Ills and those guys to go over there and find him and put him at the top, they put him as your striker, and allow him to just flourish the way he has flourished, man. It's crazy.
He's dominant.
It's crazy.
He's dominating the league. I mean, he's scoring at a pace we've never seen before. He's got more goals in the last 10 games than Orlando City does as a team, which is fantastic. He owns that franchise.
Yeah, he does.
Now, like that, he is partial owner of that franchise. He collects checks on their TV rights.
You think he plays
That's the way that it works.
You think he plays tomorrow?
Nah. He's not going to play tomorrow. Which is totally fine. He doesn't need to play tomorrow. Tomorrow, the Campeones Cup.
Campeones.
Win it. Get another trophy. There's nothing wrong with all the trophies. All right, final clip here in the most important audio in the world. Mike Tomlin getting upset with a media guy.
How did it go with you and Coach Austin tonight? The first time?
Went fine.
Tonight's case, though, the challenge.
Okay, what's the question?
Was it to test the rules or was it?
No.
There you go. He was trying to find out why he challenged the pass interference during the game.
Okay, I mean, because you're allowed to?
Yeah.
Okay. See, that's what I'm saying. That's Bobby Tube Socks. Tube Sock Bobby. Tube Socks that, you know, watch this. I got Coach. Oh, my God. I got a question. They call me. Those kind of dudes.
See, I think Timmy Tube Socks doesn't have a press pass.
He doesn't.
Timmy Tube Socks is in his mom's basement crunching numbers.
Crunching
numbers. That's like, I don't know what the name of that reporter is.
We'll come up with something. That's a
Gotcha Glenn or something like that.
Gotcha Glenn. I like it. I got you. I got a reaction out of him.
Gotcha.
All right.
But it didn't work because you can't get Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
He just makes you look dumb. And when a coach or an athlete says, "What's the question?" it always knocks you on your heels. The question is, every single time. It gets these guys every single time. All right, we'll come back and get to some college football news and notes, including the growing ripple effect of Jake Fromm. It's crazy how many different programs are impacted by Jake Fromm's inability to give up his starting quarterback position. We'll come back and get to that coming up next, along with other college football news and notes as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Orlando.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker, Randy McMichael, two brothers from another mother, only on 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you in the Kia Studios. Thanks for being with us on a Tuesday. Coming up in 20 minutes, Mike Conti will come back in studio and answer some questions about Atlanta United. They've been playing very well, Randy.
They've been all right.
Have they turned the corner?
No.
No?
No.
What do you mean? They're still... What left is there to do?
Went on the road?
Oh, right. Yeah. That's a good part. Yeah, that's a good answer. Maybe they can do that this weekend on the road in Portland against the Timbers. And look, maybe that's it. Maybe playing like they played over this last weekend on the road in Portland would be the determining factor as to whether or not you feel like they're fully back to 2018. Because that was what the broadcast was saying over the weekend, was they're back.
Mm-hmm.
They're back. They look like they're back.
I know what they were saying.
Yeah. Well, I guess, yeah. No, you're right, though. I mean,
they look good.
That's that next
they
litmus
look, they
test.
Look great. They look great at home. They look great at home. They look great at home against L.A. But they ain't look good on the road yet.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time.
It's been a while.
Since that we've seen that same kind of attacking and all that. And, again, all three of your best players, that's been the key for the way you look recently. Well, this will be the first time in a while that you've had all three of your best players on the road.
On the road.
Yeah.
Right. So hopefully they look like that on Sunday. We'll chat with Mike about that coming up in 20 minutes. Also, be paying attention in the 1 o'clock hour. We've got another chance for you to win some free stuff, courtesy of the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. It's a great prize pack to the Tour Championship week. You get tickets to the kickoff event at the College Football Hall of Fame. You get to go to a practice round out there at East Lake. It's a lot of really good stuff. So be listening in the 1 o'clock hour for your chance to win that. With that, we get to some college football news. A lot going on, actually. We'll get to Tate Martell in just a minute. But I want to start here, because we don't always get to start here. But I want to start here, because it's good news, and I think it's indicative of something bigger that's happening. Georgia Tech got another big transfer.
Mm-hmm.
Kid from Notre Dame, obviously, is originally from here. Derek Allen, four-star athlete coming out of high school, is leaving Notre Dame, and he's coming to play for Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech. And Wendy and I were actually talking about this before the show, and I think that this is just another example of, well, when he came out of high school, didn't want to stay here, didn't want to go there because of what the program was like.
Right.
And now that the program is different and Jeff Collins is there and there's some buzz and there's some juice and all of that, guys are coming back home. It's not the first transfer that he's gotten either. So, I think this is – I don't know what Georgia Tech's going to be this year,
right,
predicting their wins and all that stuff. But this is just more proof that they're headed in the right direction under Jeff Collins.
Well, I mean, and it makes it so much easier for these kids in Atlanta. I mean, I'm sure they don't want to go to Georgia I mean, I'm sure they wanted to go to Georgia Tech, but they didn't want to play. First of all, they didn't want to play for Coach Johnson in that offense.
Right.
If you are an offensive player, if you're a defensive player, you probably want to practice against an offense like that. So, I mean, I think you're going to see more and more of these young men like this coming back home. We know that Jeff Collins, he is a tireless recruiter, and he's trying to make that buzz around this Georgia Tech program, which it needs. It does need that kind of buzz to get these kids to want to stay home. I always say it missed me with the whole academic requirements. If they want them to get them in, they'll get in. But at the same time, Coach Collins is doing a great job of getting players over there. But until you get that one important piece, it don't matter.
I also say
– until you get that quarterback and until you get
– sure.
You got to get your guy.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, like, they're not rebuilt at all.
No.
It's going to be
a
while.
A long way.
Yeah, it's going to be a long time. I mean, this program was built to be a triple option team. He's got a lot of triple option players in there, and they're not going to play that system this year. They're going to lose a lot of games. And I'm not sitting here saying that this is going to change everything, but it's not the first one that has transferred either. You got Antonius Clayton, he transferred from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Marquez Ezard, he transferred from Miami. Miles Sims transferred from Michigan. Like, he's getting guys to come into his program and get excited about it. And that's just not something that you'd seen in a long time.
Oh, no, it's not. So, again, who wanted to come?
No.
Nobody wanted to come play in that offense.
And you can't blame him.
You can't blame him at all.
I didn't want to watch that offense.
I didn't want to watch it. But, no, he's doing a great job. The buzz is – because that's what you got. That's where you got to start at. You got to start the buzz. You got to make it to a point where, hey man, because Georgia Tech, it's in the middle of Atlanta.
Right.
Right in the middle.
It's right over there.
Right over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's still itself. And now that you have a guy who's going to bring in pro style, pro concepts, because he's been big on talking about how he wants Sunday guys there. You want to get guys that play on Sunday. Now, you got a while till you get there,
sure.
Especially at the quarterback position. But if you're just fine. There are plenty of four-star quarterbacks in Atlanta that don't want to go to Georgia or Alabama or Clemson somewhere.
Or can't. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Because not everybody can go to Georgia.
But no, what I'm saying is, I'm talking about a quarterback that Georgia wants from Atlanta that's maybe a four-star or somebody. Well, maybe he don't want to go to Georgia, but he wants to stay near home and he wants to go to Georgia Tech.
No doubt.
That's where Coach Collins is getting over there right now. But until he gets that guy who could be a signal caller, it's going to be a minute. And then you got to get bigger on both sides of the line.
Right. That's the next – well, there's a number of next steps. Yeah. Like you said, the revamping the line, that's what Kirby has done at Georgia better than really anything else that he's done. I mean, he's done a lot of really good things at Georgia. But targeting the offensive line specifically and getting the trenches so strong there is the reason why so many people think Georgia has a chance this year to win a national championship. That's going to be a big step for Collins, getting those big guys down there. Getting a huge top-flight quarterback as well. But the other thing is, and this comes with time – is two things. A, having those Sunday guys, having first round, second round, third round draft picks coming out of Georgia Tech perennially, not just every once in a while.
Oh, no, you those guys are coming.
Being a program where kids in the Atlanta area say, oh, I can go there and I can go pro.
Right. Because
that's what people want.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the reason Tate Martell transferred, because
years.
Tate Martell wants to be an NFL quarterback.
3 to 4 years, baby.
That's why he's transferred from Ohio State to Miami. That's why he may leave Miami now. We'll get to that in just a minute. The other thing is.
And that's that side of the ACC. Stinks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, you can get to the ACC championship game in like three seasons if he's able to keep getting transfers like this. But the other thing is, and I like the tactic of getting players via the transfer window. I think that's a really smart tactic for him to use right now. While it's still going to be hard to go out there and get guys straight out of high school if you're competing with Georgia, Clemson, Alabama at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the next step. When you're able to go into a five-star, four-star kid's living room, and Georgia's offered him a scholarship too. And Clemson's offered him a scholarship too. And he chooses you over them.
Yes.
Instead of transferring there or not having better options, but he chooses you instead of going to those schools. And look, that's a ways away. That's probably 4 or 5 years away from happening.
But when the first one does.
But when it does.
The first one does. And I'm talking about it's in one of those public.
When you had the kid from Florida.
Yeah, I mean, he's a four-star guy, wide receiver. But I'm talking about on that signing day show and everything. And there's a young kid sitting over here, one of his Atlanta area high schools. And you got a Georgia Tech hat and you got a Georgia hat on that table. And he picks up that Georgia Tech hat. That's when you're like, oh. But as of right now, no.
Not yet.
No.
Not yet. But he's utilizing the transfer portal.
And more likely he'll pick up the Georgia hat anyways.
He might. You never know.
There you go, Hater Jay. You got your 8 minutes.
That was a solid 7 minutes of almost all positivity. And
that's my positive. And that was positive the whole time.
Yeah, and I think you unintentionally used the pun buzz three times about the Georgia Tech program.
Well, I mean, I don't use puns, so it don't matter.
Yeah, so pun unintended.
It was not, but you know what I mean.
It was good, though. That was good. Yeah, I liked it.
Got some buzz.
They do. They got some buzz going on over there at Georgia Tech. All right. We mentioned Tate Martell a couple times today. Apparently, he didn't show up at practice yesterday, Randy.
Yeah.
Now, Miami made the announcement that they weren't going with him as the starting quarterback. The report today is that he's removed his nameplate from his locker, and I guess he threw it.
Yes, he did.
That's the only thing he's thrown lately.
The crazy thing about it is one of his teammates took the picture and tweeted it out.
Because they don't like him.
They can't like him.
That's why you do something like that.
And the caption said, dream dead. Dream ripped away. Dream ripped away. Dream ripped away or something.
That's what he said about his own teammate?
Like, they must didn't like you.
Probably not. You said you watched that QB1 documentary about him.
I did.
Seemed like a guy that might have been a little challenging to be teammates with.
Oh, yeah, he's a little spoiler brat, man. But, again,
so what does he do now?
I got spoiler brats, but, you know, but I don't know what he does. Because my thing is, if he leaves again, what does that say about you, homie?
Right.
You know, I mean, he has some talent. I give him that. I mean, the little bit he played up at Ohio State, he did all right. Now, I was reading some more stuff about it. They're talking about maybe a position change. He don't want to change position. He want to be a quarterback.
Right. He wants to play quarterback.
He wants to play quarterback. So where does he go? Can he go and get a big-time gig somewhere? Would he come here?
No. What, Tech?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That him?
Because he's not a bum.
Hadn't considered that.
He's just soft, man. He's just Charmin soft. He's been Charmin soft since for a while.
Mentally,
yeah.
Mentally. No, now, physically, he can play football.
He got some tools, yeah.
Mentally, he doesn't necessarily seem to want to compete. Now, but if I'm Jeff Collins, like, I don't know, maybe Jeff Collins will do that. We just talked about how he's been utilizing the transfer window. Maybe he will. Maybe that's that big-time quarterback that he needs to get.
But he can't get no waivers. So.
Would you want him, though? Like,
if I
wouldn't.
I mean, God, thank God I'm not a Georgia Tech fan or Georgia or went there. But
all right.
I don't think I would want him in my program, man. I don't, man, because what if something happens? What if he plays up? What if he has a bad game and Coach Collins puts in another quarterback?
Right.
Then what's going to happen?
Right. Then he's going to transfer.
Leave again. It's embedded in you, dude. And I'm not saying you don't like to compete. I'm just saying that you want stuff handed to you. And when it's not, then it's time to move on.
We talked about this last week. There's a difference between loving what football can do for you and loving football.
Yes.
Or competition, whatever it is that you do. Like, people want the clout that comes along with being the star quarterback or whatever.
It's all about likes, baby.
But when somebody's as good as you or nearly as good as you and you got to outplay them to get that job, not everybody wants to do that.
Yeah, man.
To me, that's the most fun part. Like, if you can beat somebody that's actually really good, then you're actually really good.
I want it. Hey, fantasy football players, we invite you to join us at the 92.9 The Game Fantasy Football Summit at Twin Peaks of Buckhead on Saturday, August 24th from noon to 3. Get expert advice from a panel discussion, mock drafts, and Q&A with Yahoo Sports' Brad Evans, Brian Baldinger from the NFL Network, and Fantasy Football Live's own Liz Loza. Get insider scoop on fantasy football before your draft on Saturday, August 24th from noon to 3. Twin Peaks and Buckhead. For more info, go to 929thegame.com.
Mike Conti joins us coming up next. Talk some Atlanta United. Another nice win for Atlanta United over the weekend. What's next? Winning on the road.
Yes.
How are they going to do it? We'll ask Mike
right
after
this. No,
they got
to get a trophy. That's what's
next. Well, they could get a trophy tomorrow. That's true. Right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Tuesday. Tuesdays at 12:40 means we talk to Mike Conti, the radio play-by-play voice of your Atlanta United, who are playing some pretty dang good soccer right now, Mike.
Word. Yeah, I agree. And honestly, I think even the two losses they've had since that debacle in Chicago, they played well even in those losses at Seattle and LAFC. So this is about as well as they can play. It's not a coincidence that they have just about everyone back now. It's a big reason why. But exciting week. I'm excited about tomorrow. I really am. You know, the champions of Mexico are in town, and there is a trophy at stake. And it's, you know, not the biggest, most important trophy that they can win this year, but it is a trophy. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Is it like that little trophy Andy has?
What's that?
Yeah, the one he got for our
I was the champion of our bowling tournament at our staff appreciation.
Small like that? And you got a cash payout as well for that.
The cash has not arrived yet.
Oh.
But the trophy is still proudly displayed on the mantle of my home.
Listen, it's a trophy that goes in the case.
Okay.
And, you know, I think there could be a day down the road in the future where the Campione's Cup could be a really big deal. It's very young right now. We've only had one. They had it up in Toronto last year. It was not very well attended. It will be much better attended tomorrow. So, if you got a shot to win it, go out and win it. And then maybe history will look back on it being a really big deal, much bigger than we think it is right now. Randy had asked me yesterday, you know, is there kind of another sport you can compare the Campione's Cup to? What I keep coming back to is this would be like playing in the Citrus Bowl, okay? So you have to do a lot to get in the Citrus Bowl. The Citrus Bowl, it's not a playoff game. It's not, you know, the New Year's Six, but it's a big game. If you win the Citrus Bowl, that's a nice little trophy to have in your trophy case. If you lose the Citrus Bowl, no one cares.
You also, just to continue with the analogy, if I can make this make sense, if you're a really good player on a team that's playing in the Citrus Bowl and you might get drafted, you might not play in the Citrus Bowl.
Also true. I didn't even think of that, but that's really that is very, very true.
Whereas if you're a really good player for Atlanta United who may be a little banged up or something like that, and you've got a big road match coming up on Sunday against Timbers, maybe you wouldn't play in the Campione's Cup either.
Or you play 45. Yeah, but the problem is, though, this is being done as a normal match, not a friendly. So each team only gets three subs. Mm. You'd go to penalties if it's tied at the end of 90 minutes. There's going to be a VAR. If it were a pure friendly, it would be a lot easier because then you could play everyone for a half and make a change at halftime and go 45-45. Atlanta United is going to have to play some guys tomorrow that they played on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's just where they are right now with injuries and the way the roster is constructed. There are going to be some people who played a full 90 on Sunday who are probably going to have to play again on Wednesday. The players who are dealing with injuries like Joseph Martinez and Ezekiel Barco, I think you have to be really, really super cautious with them. But also, Frank DeBoer does not like to rotate his lineup a whole lot. You're not going Wednesday, Saturday to Portland. You're going Wednesday, Sunday, so you get the extra day to turn it around. You know, it's become a very difficult exercise to predict Frank's selections this year because every time we assume he's going to rotate and play a second choice, he doesn't do it.
Mike, has Frank DeBoer kind of softened his stance on his tactics? Is that one of the reasons for the success lately?
No. I don't think he was ever tactically rigid in the first place. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So switching to the 3-5-2 was not this sudden epiphany by Frank DeBoer to be more flexible.
Right.
He had to go to the 3-5-2 because he was running out of left backs.
Okay.
Yeah, honestly, Breck Shea's injury in Seattle kind of created this move to the 3-5-2 that's worked out incredibly well for Atlanta United, where they're 4-1-0 since going to that, and I think they're plus 9 or 10 in goal difference. And outside of 12 minutes in LAFC, you could be 5-0. So, no, I think Frank has always been very, very flexible. I think his opinion is to just try to get the best possible combination of players out on the field, regardless of your opponent. Make your opponent adapt to you. So, no, I don't think Frank has changed anything from week one to now as far as his approach to the game. But going to the 3-5-2 has obviously been a huge help for Atlanta United.
Mike Conte joining us here on the Midday Show, talking some Atlanta United, reacting to the really solid run of play lately. We'll look ahead to Portland in a minute as well. Whether it's – because we've been kind of theorizing as to what has been the difference maker. Seems fairly obvious to me that the difference maker is – you have your three best players on the field now, healthy, playing together. Is it that simple, or is there something else?
I think it's part of that. I think part of it is you did have a lot of home games in this clump where you went into the 3-5-2. Atlanta United is incredibly good at home this year, 14-1-3 across all competitions. Atlanta United has not been very good on the road. So the fact that they've only played one match on the road in this span going to the 3-5-2, I think that helps. And honestly, that's why the match in Portland, the match in Orlando, not the Open Cup match, but the league match coming up, the league match in Philadelphia, that might be a little bit of a barometer. How much better is this team now on the road having gone to the 3-5-2? I thought they played well enough on the road to beat LAFC, totally honest. I thought a very, very iffy penalty call tilted that match. Atlanta United could have gotten 1 to 3 points out of it. So having Barco back absolutely helps. Having Joseph and Pitti healthy absolutely helps. Having Justin Miram be able to help you with Barco being out has been vital. And Emerson Heineman has been vital. And the front office has made some really, really good moves to make this team deeper. So it's a sum of a lot of different things. I really felt like Atlanta United was playing their best soccer in early May when Barco was still there. They got that 3-0 win at Kansas City on the road. I'm thinking, boy, it's going to be really, really hard for them to play better than that. I think they're playing better than them now, and that's really encouraging.
The one thing I saw, I mean, we've been talking, I think I might mention this kid's name every week, Miles Robinson, and his defense and how he's been doing and how spectacular he's been. But, Mike, to me, it looks like they've been using him more in the attack a little bit more these last few games.
Especially on corners. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he had an apparent goal wiped out by VAR on Sunday because he had a push-off. So, yeah, I mean, look, he's tall, so you're going to want him to be a target on set pieces. I don't think he's come forward in open play as much as maybe it appears. But on corners, on free kicks, you got a tall guy there on a team of not very tall players. So take advantage of that, make him a target. And I think he's up to like 13 shots on the season, which for a center back is pretty rare. That's a lot.
Well, he scored until they took it back the other day.
Yeah, and it's funny. Jason and I have very conflicting thoughts on that call.
Yeah.
I saw it as a push-off, and I'm thinking it's about time they finally start calling push-offs on corners in MLS. Jason thinks, well, if you're going to call that push-off, you're going to have to nullify every corner kick in the league.
Right.
Well, you know what? If you watch the World Cup or any international competition, they call, you know, brushes in the box as fouls. MLS, the pro refs always let that go, which drives me nuts. So I'm sorry it wiped out a goal for Miles, but I'm glad to see it called.
He'll get another chance. They're going to keep targeting him, as you know. Frank DeBoer said that he wants Atlanta United to be not only the best club in America, but the best club in North America. How much does a win tomorrow help further that perception?
It's tough. Club America will probably play most of their regulars. Just looking at their roster, they're only bringing three academy kids up. So I think they're going to play most of their regulars. I think Atlanta United will play a lot of their regulars. It doesn't change the fact, though, that both of these teams are in the middle of their seasons. Both of these teams are having very good seasons. It's very, very early in Liga MX, but they're third in their table right now. Atlanta United, I think, is third overall in MLS. So both teams have desires to win their league championships. Both teams have to be responsible and not ruin their chances to win their leagues based on something they do in Campione's Cup. So that's tough. If they win tomorrow, it's a big feather in their cap. If they lose tomorrow, I don't read anything into it. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah.
Quick one. We had an AMA question yesterday. Do you think Pitti was upset that he didn't get a chance to take that penalty kick?
I think momentarily he probably was. Right. He earned the penalty, but that's not the first time this has happened this year where Pitti has earned a penalty and Joseph has taken the PK. You kind of have an unspoken understanding that, look, Joseph's your penalty taker. He's going to the spot. I understand why Pitti wanted it. I would have been okay if Pitti had taken it. It's still a 1-0 game at that point, so you got to go with the short thing.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't think it's an issue or anything.
Right.
I think at the moment he was upset.
I would be interested to see if there's ever a situation where Joseph's on the field and he doesn't take a penalty. Because
last year that happened.
Oh, it did.
Yeah, they had Almiron take a couple penalties last year, including the first penalty of the year in Houston, and Almiron missed.
And then Joseph took over.
And then Joseph kind of took over, but Miguel got another. Remember tomorrow, if it's even at 90 minutes, we go to penalties. So keep that in mind. You could see five or more Atlanta United players take penalties tomorrow.
Pre-game at 7:30, kickoff at 8 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thank you, Mike.
You got it.
We'll come back and get back to what's trending coming up top of the 1 o'clock hour right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.